So I want to get right into our stuff tonight. So there's only two Starbursts available. I'm sorry. Only two. All right. And one is to the person who can do all four characters. Right here. All four characters.
God the gardener.
God the gardener. Good.
Jesus the vine.
Jesus the vine.
The followers of Christ, which are the connected branches.
Good. Connected branches, followers of Christ.
Non-believers, which are the dead branches.
The dead branches, yes.
Cut away.
The disconnected, cut away branches. Good job, man. Nice work. All right. Yeah, let's give them a hand. All four. That's awesome. All right. And someone on this side who can tell me all the words of the gospel acronym. All right. In the orange shirt right here, yes. Very good. God, our sins, paying everyone life. That's right. So in our journey through John 15 this week, we have talked so far about those four characters. We've talked last night about the branches and how you can know for sure what branch you are. And then this morning, I introduced this idea of pruning. And tonight, I really want to dig into that same idea of pruning. And so let's look at our passage again. We're actually going to flip to a couple passages, okay? So stay with me and turn with me there in your own Bible. I'm super excited to hear that some of you have gotten your own Bibles to have this week. And I hope you guys realize what a privilege it is for us to be able to all have our own Bible. Because the first Christians, most of them did not have their own Bible. They had to, first of all, they didn't even have the New Testament because it wasn't written yet. And the Old Testament was written on scrolls and kept in synagogues. And you had to be super wealthy to be able to pay someone to copy down one of those scrolls. And so most people didn't even have a Bible. And so it is an incredible privilege for us to have God's Word. And so I hope you treasure your Bible. This is God's text message to you, to each one of us. All right, so turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And I'm going to read the whole passage again just because it's good for us to be reminded of the whole context as we think about pruning. Jesus says to his disciples, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already, you, his disciples, are clean or pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. So we see that concept of pruning. And remember this morning I told you that pruning was either cutting something completely away or cutting something back so that we can be the most fruitful, so that we can be at our most fruitful. And the testimony that we heard tonight from Will was about something that needed to be pruned out of his life, right? And we all have those things. That's part of the Christian life, this battle against sin. Things that need to be completely cut out of our lives. And then we also have this temptation, and I was actually talking with somebody on the guys' raft trip. Woo! Was that fun? Yeah. Yeah. Girls, you guys get to, you ladies get to do it soon enough. But it was great. We were talking about this idea of loving something more than God. And sometimes it can be a good thing. Did you know that your family can become an idol in your life? Family is such a great blessing, right? But it can become an idol when we love family more than God. And so there might come a time in your life where you have to think about, man, I need to cut back a little bit and dedicate some more time to God because family is starting to become my God. And you know what? That's not good for you, but it's also not good for your family. Nothing else can bear the weight of being God in your life. Only God can handle that. All right? And so pruning is this cutting out or cutting away or cutting back. All right? And so I want to take a look at a couple other passages from the Bible that help us dig into this and understand this idea of pruning a little bit more. So turn with me to the book of Hebrews. It's towards the back of your New Testament. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. All right? It's a pretty big one. It's 12 chapters long. No, 13? Who knows? 13, I think. 13 chapters long. And turn to Hebrews 4. This might be a familiar verse to some of you guys. It's about the Bible, actually. And it's kind of about maybe the major tool that God uses to prune us with. All right? Hebrews 4, starting in verse 12, it says, "For the word of God," God, the gardener, "is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword." And what does this sword do? It says, "piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his," God's, "sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." Guys, God knows us. He knows our hearts. He knows our minds. We can't hide anything from God. And the great news is we don't have to hide anything from God. He already knows it. What he wants us to do is confess our sins to him and ask him to help us. Ask him to destroy those things, to cut them away. And he'll do it with the word. The Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. It will show us, it will reveal to us who we are. So use it. Be in this word. Read this text message that God has sent to you. It will help you to fight sin. It's one of the tools, the main tools that he uses as the great gardener that he is. Now flip a couple more chapters to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. So just a few more chapters. And Hebrews chapter 12 comes after Hebrews 11, surprisingly enough. But Hebrews 11 is the hall of faith. It's the hall of faith. It has all these stories of the Old Testament characters that we've heard about, Abraham and Isaac and Moses. And it has all these stories of people that followed God. And they didn't do it perfectly. None of them were perfect, but they followed God. And then chapter 12 says, "Therefore," starting in verse 1, "therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses," these saints, these followers of God that have gone before us, "let us also lay aside every weight." Now, every weight, that would be an example of something that we need to cut back on in our lives. So it's not necessarily sin. It just might be something that's holding us back. Okay? So let us also lay aside every weight. And then it says, "and sin, which clings so closely." Sin is like this monster that just keeps trying to grab us and drag us down as we're running the race. Can you imagine if Usain Bolt You know, what if at the beginning of the race, he had to start with somebody on his back, and then like every yard of the 100-meter dash, there was somebody else like grabbing at his legs? He would not be nearly as fast as he was, right? But that's what sin is like. It's trying to grab us and drag us down. And so it says, let us lay aside that those things. Let us cast off the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And the cool thing is, guys, is that for every single one of you in here, God loves you individually. He doesn't want you to look the same as any other person in this room. You have your own race set before you to run. I love Galatians 2:20. It says, who loved me, Jesus, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Yes, Jesus died for the whole world, but he also died for you, for me. Fill in your name. And God has a special plan for each one of us if we will trust in Jesus. And so it's the race that he set before you. And then it says, how are we supposed to run this race? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, the starter and the finisher. He's called somewhere else the Alpha, that's the first letter of the Greek alphabet, and the Omega, the last letter of the Greek alphabet. And he's everything in between. Like we say, from A to Z, Jesus has got it all covered. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the worst punishment we could ever imagine, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And now it's going to tell us a little bit about pruning. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Now listen to this. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Can you imagine fighting sin so hard that you actually bled? And verse 5 says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. Now, chastises is just means, it's kind of one of those words that means like to correct forcefully. Quiet down, right? Kind of like that, you know? It's not mean, it's stern. It carries authority. I heard a counselor refer to it as their mom voice this morning, right? Like, you know, mom's serious, right? If she uses your middle name, right? Okay, so, but the Lord does that for us. And verse 7 says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as his sons or his daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom a father doesn't discipline? If you're left without discipline, if you're not being disciplined by the Lord, in which you all have participated, then you're illegitimate children, and you're not actually children. Besides this, we've had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits, God the Father, the perfect gardener who never loses his temper, who never goes overboard, who never demands something that he won't also help us to actually do, or who never tells us to do something and then he doesn't do it. He's the perfect Father. For they, our earthly fathers, disciplined us for a short time as it seems best to them. But he, God, disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Can I get an amen to that? But later, it yields the peaceful fruit. Anybody? Does that word sound familiar in our passage, right? Fruit, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Guys, this pruning process, it can be painful. But it's a sign that God loves us. It's a sign that he's really treating us as his kids. So when you do something wrong and you feel that, when you feel guilty, when you feel bad, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because that's God speaking to your heart. If you're trusting in Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit inside of you saying, no, my son, no, my daughter, don't go that way. Stop. Come back to me. Don't hurt yourself. That's a good thing, okay? Now, I want to show you an image again from our friend Eustace. And we saw a little bit of this scene earlier today in that music video, but this is the actual scene from the movie. And what happened to Eustace is he was greedy and he went after some dragon treasure, and so he turned into a dragon. And for a while it was fun, but then he started to die as a dragon, and he needed to be turned back into a boy, but there was a painful process that had to happen. And if you're not familiar with the movie, the lion is Aslan, and he represents God. And so watch how I think the movie makers really portrayed a cool pruning process. In the book, there's even a longer description, and it actually is more graphic, so I think that's why they didn't put it in the movie. But Aslan actually jumps on his back and scratches the dragon skin off with his claws. But that's what Eustace needed, you guys. Eustace didn't want to be stuck in that dragon skin. It was killing him. And sin is killing us. It's hurting us, and it's hurting the people around us. And God doesn't want that. And so he will do some painful things to get our attention sometimes. But it's for our good. And I love that picture of the lion just roaring and that sin just melting away, because God is stronger than your sin. I don't care what sin it is. You can think it's the worst sin that nobody else struggles with, and that's a lie that Satan would love for you to believe. But it's a lie, because Jesus paid for every single sin. Every sin, he paid for it. You don't have to struggle with the guilt and the shame of your sin alone. God sees, he knows, and he still loves you. And his power is available to you if you will come to him and ask for it. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be hard. It doesn't mean that sometimes you won't slip back. But he wants you to be free from your sin. And that's what his pruning process is all about. I just want to mention five sins specifically from one more passage that I want us to look at. So if you will flip back a few books, still in the New Testament, to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now, a Gentile means a non-Jew, but in this context, what Paul is saying is non-Christians, people who aren't yet following Jesus. So don't walk as people who don't know Jesus anymore in the futility of their minds, meaning their minds are messed up. They think things are leading them to life, but it's not leading them to life. It says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus, that's not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus to put off your old self, or cut away, right? Submit to that pruning process, to the discipline of the Lord. Put it off. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Did you know that you lie to yourself maybe more than anyone else lies to you? We lie to ourselves. And we do it in a few different ways. We have this sin nature that all people are born with. And it's this kind of, I've heard it called an idol factory. It's our heart that just keeps telling us, oh, you better have that. You better get that. You need some of that. And it just keeps looking for something to worship, for something to satisfy. But it lies to us because it tells us we can get it somewhere else than God. That next relationship, wealth, popularity, perfect hair, whatever it is, we lie. Our own hearts deceive us. But then we also lie to ourselves when we make excuses for our sin. We say, well, it's not that bad. I mean, look at that guy over there. Right? Or, I really didn't mean to do it. We rationalize and we lie to ourselves about how serious our sin is. That's not that big of a deal. And so we can be deceived. All right? And it says, so our old self is corrupt through deceitful desires. And when it says to put it off, I heard that later this week we're maybe going to do something where we get a little dirty. And it's like taking off just this nasty shirt and like peeling it off and just getting rid of it. Have you ever been so dirty that you just throw your clothes away? Like, yeah, we're not even going to try to rescue those, right? Especially socks or something like that. Like, man, no, gross. All right, you know. So that's what that word put off is, like, peel off this gross thing. And then what does it tell us to do? It says, be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self. Jesus has given us a new set of clothes, his righteousness, his perfect record, to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And that's where we're gonna stop. But there were five specific sins that I think we all struggle with, but especially at your age, middle school and high school, these sins run rampant all around you. And you guys are going to have to choose. If you just want to go with the flow and have these sins wreak havoc in your lives, or if you want to fight them, if you want to get a group of people and fight against sin and put on that new nature that God is ready to give you. And the five sins are these: sexual immorality. That was mentioned back in verse 19. It says, they, these non-believers, have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. That's like displaying your body in this sexual way. And greedy. They're greedy to practice every kind of impurity. And guys, if you haven't heard about it or haven't heard people talking about it or even maybe seen or maybe even participated in it, you're going to hear about it. Every kind of impure sexual thing. Are you just going to go along with the flow of our culture that says sex is just a business transaction and you can just kind of have it with whoever you want, whenever you want, however you want, whatever? Or are you going to listen to God, who says that sex is a beautiful gift to be enjoyed between a husband and his wife, between one man and one woman for life? Are you going to trust that God knows what's best, that he made sex and he knows how it works best? So sexual immorality is a huge area of temptation. And if you're struggling with that, please don't struggle alone. You're not alone. Talk to somebody. Get help. Confess. So sexual immorality. The next one is lying in verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, because we're members one of another. I know, you guys, that it's tempting to lie, maybe especially to your parents. And maybe they didn't ask, so I didn't lie, but I didn't tell them the whole truth. Is that the kind of relationship that you really want with your parents? How about lying to your friends? You know, bragging about something that you maybe did, but you didn't do it to quite the extent that you're going to say you did it just to impress them. Is that really the kind of relationship you want with your friends? Relationships are built on trust, and when we lie, we tear down that foundation. Another one is anger, right? Verse 26 says, be angry and don't sin. Don't let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. So anger, this is important. Being angry is not a sin. Jesus got angry. In fact, he got so angry that one time he went into a place kind of like this and he started turning over tables and he made a whip and he started whipping people to get out. Right? When he went and cleared the temple. He was mad, and he was right to be mad. There are things in this world that should make us mad. What's happening over in Syria should make us mad. It's okay to be angry. What's not okay is to sin against other people when we're angry. And so how are we going to deal with that anger? And I know you guys are learning. One of the things you're learning is to deal with your emotions. And one of the best ways you can deal with emotions is take them to God. Tell God how you feel. God, I'm angry right now. Help me know how to deal with this. All right? A fourth sin that is especially a temptation, I think, for young adults your age, but for all of us, is laziness or entitlement. And I get that from verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Now, there's probably not too many of you, but maybe there are some of you who struggle with things like shoplifting, with stealing money from your parents, whatever. But probably not too many of you have gone into a store and stolen something. But when we go around acting as if the world owes us a favor, when we go around with ungrateful hearts that just think we deserve our next meal and it's not a gift, when we think that our parents owe us a bigger allowance and a car when we want it, and that they should just give us what we want when we want it, that's called an attitude of entitlement. Like, we think we're a rock star. You know, Joe has told me about the diva crown that he wears. But, like, if you guys have ever heard about anything that goes on behind the scenes when, like, places try to put on a concert, and you get this contract from some bands, and it's like it can be, like, just dozens of pages long with, like, specific the kind of water they want, And what temperature they want it, and like what meal they specifically want with like the brand name of the... I mean, it's crazy the specific things that they have to have before they will even consider doing a concert in your little town. And sometimes this is even Christian artists. We can start to get entitled and think that we deserve things when really... anything we have is a gift from God. Just the fact that you guys are all here at this camp is an incredible blessing from the Lord. All right? And then the last one is one that, man, I still struggle with. Verse 29, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace. That's like God's unmerited favor that it may give grace to those who hear. No corrupting talk. Not one dirty joke. Not one swear word. Not one using the Lord's name in vain. I feel like saying, oh my God, has become like saying, in our culture. But every time you do that without acknowledging who God is, it's using his name in vain and it's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. It's lessening who God is in your own eyes and the eyes of people who are listening. That's why it's so serious, guys. And if we're going to try to let no corrupting talk come out of our mouths, I know I don't have the power to do that. The power comes from remaining connected to the vine, from having the power of the Holy Spirit at work and producing fruit in your lives. So pruning, it's not easy, but it's good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as the worship team comes back up and we have an opportunity, God, to think, to really consider the sins that maybe some of us have been hiding for a long, long time. God, I pray that you would turn our hearts to you. That you would help us to submit to that pruning process. Thank you so much, Father God, that you are a good gardener. That you are mighty to save. And that salvation is not just this one-time thing. But as we sang, you want to be the God of angel armies who walks before us, behind us, beside us, using the sword of the Spirit, your word, to pierce our hearts, to deliver us from sin and evil and darkness, things that will never give us life, things that only tie us down. Help us to give those things to you. Help us to trust that you are really better, that your way is the best way for us, that race that you have marked out for each one of us. Oh God, help us to trust your plan. Help us to trust your Son. Help us to submit to your Spirit. Please, help us to cast off any weights that are tying us down, the sin that so easily entangles, and run that race looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I just want to invite you guys again, take advantage of these boards on the side. Remember, over here, in you, if you want to commit to remaining in Jesus, whether for the first time or for the 100th time, feel free to write your name on that board over there. You in Christ. Over here, Christ in you. If there's something that you know is getting in the way, standing in between you and Jesus, and God is saying, I want to prune that out of your life, go write it down up there. Take this time right now to reflect, to listen to what God is saying to you.